You're listening to the North American Francophone Podcast, hosted in English by Clémery Brisson and proudly recorded in Charlottesville, Virginia. Joining us today on the North American Francophone Podcast are two people who are very engaged with the Francophonie. I have Scott Tilton and Rudy Basnet. A little background on them before we get into the interview. Scott Tilton is a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. He had the opportunity growing up to learn French and Creole. He's been working as a consultant in France on projects for the European Union, the French government, and the UN. And Rudy Basnet was born and raised in Clermont-Ferrand, France. He has lived and worked in several countries, including the United States. He's been working at the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs for the past 7 years on international cooperation and cultural outreach. Rudy and Scott, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
And you're joining us all the way from Paris, too. So I think this is probably one of the most distant interviews I've ever had.
The Francophonie is alive and well.
Absolutely. So I think that my first question is going to be about both of you and your relationship to the Francophone world. How did you get engaged and active in working on the things that you're doing? And when was there a moment where you said, okay, I really want to pursue this?
Sure. So as you said, I am from Clermont-Ferrand, so... You know, it's not the most international city in France, I would say, but, you know, I would say that I have an international background. I studied in Paris, and I graduated with a master's degree in international affairs, and then I went on to work at the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs, so there for the past 7 years now, in the field of cultural cooperation and cultural outreach, so I've always kind of known what the Francophonie was about, and I've always been passionate about language and culture too. So those are two elements that have been very important in my life. So when I met Scott a few years ago, and he told me that he wanted to launch this initiative to have Louisiana join the Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie, the OIF, I thought it was really exciting, and I thought it was very compelling as a project. So I decided to work on it with him. And over time, I've learned a lot about the Francophonie in Louisiana, and I'm very interested in it. So I'm excited to move forward with our project and to move to New Orleans soon.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I guess, first of all, when you talk about engagement and kind of what we're working on, I think podcasts like this, we really appreciate being here and having the opportunity to be able to talk about our project. And also, there's such diverse voices that have come across here, you know, and you've spoken with, and it's neat to be able to talk about our project in this context. As you were saying, I'm originally from New Orleans, born and raised. It's kind of, it was interesting to have grown up in that environment. I think you grew up in whether people recognize it immediately, it is an incredibly multicultural environment. And I had people around me, whether it be my father who spoke French, or people around me in my life who spoke St. Lucian Creole and also Louisiana Creole. You realize growing up how diverse these kind of influences are, and how perhaps we are uniquely American, but there's always kind of this interesting interplay between how we relate to the United States and what we bring to the table. And I think growing up, especially after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, you started to realize those influences in your life, kind of what was at stake in Louisiana and what was potentially being lost at that moment. It wasn't clear in those times. And then I think it kind of inspired me and to go into and become more interested in political thought, and brought me first, like you, a fellow Wahoo, went to the University of Virginia. And then came over here to Paris to study at Sciences Po. And it was specifically at Sciences Po that I started to realize how the Francophonie was beyond, I mean, being what, obviously it's what we speak, French and in Creole, and there's all of these influences in our lives, but it's also an institution, and there's economic benefits, there's professional benefits, and there's all sorts of ways that we can interact with the Francophonie that is united by the common language, but is also much bigger than that. And I think that we were trying to think about it, I think, at that time, I was thinking, well, Louisiana has this amazing history in French and Creole, and I think we definitely have a voice or to bring to the table, and that's kind of been a metaphor that's been used a lot, and I think that's maybe somewhere that we could we could work on that. And that's how Rudy and I became involved in this project, is we worked on it for the over the course of 2 years, became engaged, and thought about ways in which Louisiana could join the Francophonie. And so it was a long process, and there were so many people who helped us in that process. I mean, whether it be different state agencies in Louisiana, COTOFIL, the governor's office, but then also we had to work really a lot at the Senate level in the United States and at the with the U.S. Embassy in Paris to really be able to make it so that we had all of the prerequisites aligned so that we could join it. And fortunately, in October of 2018, we were able to join this organization. So I think it's been a long process, one that's kind of interestingly, I think part of a lot influenced by having grown up in Louisiana and recognizing what's there, but also just shows the diversity of these languages and that there are these communities throughout the United States, and that this is the story of French and Creole in America is an American story.
Absolutely. And I would love to hear a perspective from both of you about how it was to sort of join forces with one of you being from France and one of you from Louisiana. Did you feel like your experiences as Francophones really converged, or did you start to notice differences as you were working towards bringing Louisiana into the organization of the Francophonie?
Yeah, I mean, I think the perspective is always different. And I think it's good in the sense that, you know, we were very fortunate that it was, to a certain degree, to be able to get what we wanted done. You need to have different registres, like ways of talking to different organizations, because people come to the table and are talking with each other in different ways. So Rudy worked for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. There's this unbelievable level of, I think, diplomatic language and ability to formulate phrases and be able to speak in a way that maybe in English we wouldn't quite be as thinking about, having grown up in the United States. But also, there's also ways that we talk about culture and language in the way that we talk about that in Louisiana and our attachment to those, that was able to make a very convincing argument for why we wanted to see Louisiana in this organization. So I think, and it's also fun just to talk to someone from France, I mean, who lives the Francophonie in their everyday life, that is the state of being is French speaking. And in places like Louisiana, French is something, it's kind of a douceur. It's something you add, it enriches our lives, but it's not something that we can always interact with. And or at least there are people in our lives with whom we interact, but we are part of the United States and we do speak English, and that's kind of become our reality. But I think that being able to meld those two viewpoints and understand both what it is to be in a French-speaking environment every day and how you should interact with different institutions, but then also making the case for why French is important and what it means to us today was perhaps helped in the initiative.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's interesting too, because, well, a lot of people would think that growing up in France, I knew everything about the Francophonie, which is not necessarily the case, because of course we do speak French, but sometimes people have a hard time realizing that other people speak French in different places and maybe some sort of minority language there. So it was actually very nice to talk with Scott about what's at stake in Louisiana, you know, when it comes to speaking like Louisiana French or Creole. I thought all of this was very interesting. And I feel like what matters the most when it comes to the Francophonie is kind of discussing, you know, the different varieties of French and like not only hearing about other words, but also about other perspectives, you know, like even if it's the same language, sometimes you may have other ways of thinking or another outlook on things. So I think it's very interesting to look at that.
Absolutely. And so let's talk a little bit about the new foundation. This is something that you are both working towards. And the reason that you're moving from Paris to Louisiana is because of the new foundation. Could you tell me a little bit about what the new foundation is to start?
So we envisioned the new foundation as a cultural institute. So we want it to be a vibrant place in New Orleans, which can bring together French and Creole speakers, but not only. We also want to kind of attract people who are interested in the Francophonie. So we want it to be are very open space, open to everyone. And we want to kind of showcase the opportunities that are associated with the Francophonie. So it's a wide mission. We have that in mind, but it's also very interesting because we have so many ways of approaching this mission, and we can do it from a cultural perspective, economic perspective. So there are so many things we want to do, and that's why we are so animated by this project.
I think the idea of a cultural institute unto itself is important in the model that we want for the new foundation. I think, first of all, as we've envisioned this space, we have a cafe so that people can go there, and we understand, you know, in this current environment, these types of spaces seem almost like a luxury, but I think it's important in the long term to have the perspective that you do need to have a physical space for people to go in, to interact, be able to exchange ideas, and honestly just have fun and have a coffee and do whatever they want. We also, though, want to have a concept store in which we're able to be able to feature goods, artisanal projects from Francophone and Creolophone artists in Louisiana, but also from around the Francophonie. And then also, we really want to put a big accent on the sort of new ideas lab that we're creating, which is we want to be able to create a sort of barrier-breaking space that people can come into, and there are going to be different design programs that will be very multilingual. It will be in English, some will be in Creole, some will be in French, but they're thematic in their approach. So as Rudy was saying, we'll have sort of an economic focus for certain programs. We'll in a lot of different other areas, cultural, maybe historical, in terms of understanding some of the ways that these cultures are interacting. And so that this will be part of the entire ensemble of that space in which you're having people socializing, you're having people being able to look and interact and understand some of the resources that they need, and also a new ideas lab where you'll be able to assist and attend programs where you're going to be able to have a direct exposure. And I think that that's kind of what we envision for that space. And we also envision that space being online and having sort of digital resources that we're going to consolidate and bring into one space where people will be able to have just sort of access and understand that these are resources in French, these are resources in Creole, these are artists that are working on language expositions and arts and other domains. And that way you can go to one space and understand where those resources are. And I think we definitely view our work as complementary and fundamentally in partnership with all the other institutions that exist already. We want there to be this kind of collaboration and the idea of building a circle out, in that you're building this ecosystem for the language.
I really like that term, ecosystem for the language. You know, it feels like this was meant to be there. And I'm just wondering, when did you realize that a foundation like NU was needed? And when did you start designing and planning it for its launch?
Yeah, so we came up with the initial idea 2 years ago, I would say in April 2018. So right after Louisiana's application to the Francophonie was submitted to the OIF. So we're actually sitting along the Seine, à la Parisienne, and we were thinking through some of the next steps. You know, we didn't think, you know, that Louisiana's joining the Francophonie was an end unto itself, but the beginning of something instead, you know. So we realized in working on the Francophonie that there was so much energy on the ground, and that a lot of people were engaged with the idea of promoting French and Creole. And a lot of people, for instance, reached out to us and told us how excited they were about the project and told us about their projects, what they wanted to do with the Francophonie. So it was very stimulating back then. And also in working with the OIF, we realized that a lot of resources are available to civil society. So it could be like support from the other member states of the Francophonie, NGOs, cultural centers, public institutions, and they kind of all want to partner in Louisiana to help the transmission of French and Creole. So we thought it would be relevant in a way and helpful to bring these resources together in a single institute.
Yeah, and maybe to add on there, I think in designing NU, we wanted to design the cultural institute model to bring together the energy that we saw on the ground and the resources we saw internationally. I think a cultural institute unto itself maybe melds two aspects of promoting French and Creole cultures and language that are important. The first being the kind of idea that a cultural institute is a community hub, which is kind of what we were discussing about that space. It's a place for people to be able to go to and interact and exchange ideas. And that's always, I mean, kind of an important feature in terms of the vitality of language, of culture, and it's not the only space in which those things will interact for certain, but at least it's a designated space for people to go to and know that they will be welcomed in those spaces. The other one is just as a nonprofit, we can look outwards for partnerships. I think to raise funds or to access different kinds of support from donors or foundations, governments, and other actors to provide both the resources and the programs, I think, for the different groups that are already active in this space on the ground in Louisiana. There's so many different groups that are working on French and Creole in Louisiana, I think. But the resources is always the critical element and the piece that we need. So I think if we in this foundation can come together and be able to bring these resources and take the honestly the goodwill that's out there and want and the desire to support Louisiana and serve as the intermediary so that we can take those resources and put them on the ground so that people can realize their own initiatives, and that would be fantastic. And I think that's what we were talking about, the ecosystem, is that we want to see it thrive, and we want to see businesses opening, we want to see cultural works being created, and supporting Louisianians going abroad and other people abroad coming to us. And I think, and even within the United States, I think that's an important factor as well. And I think there's always been a dream in Louisiana for a long time to reinforce the linguistic ecosystem, and we hope that new can be there. And I think maybe an important point to make just in terms of the visibility of French and Creole in Louisiana is that we also want to be helping people, whether they speak the languages or not, to understand that they're not engaged in some form of zero-sum game. It's not like if you're learning French or Creole that you will lose your capacity to learn English. Instead, that these are mutually complementary. If you learn French and Creole, there are an enormous amount of opportunities that are available to you professionally and personally that we want new to be able to support in that role, and also be able to bring the resources about a bunch of different institutions and people that are making the same argument and bring them into one place so that people can have those resources readily on hand. And I think it's going to be very important. I think we need to be supporting the ingenious work that's being done on the ground. You can have as many institutions as you want, but if you do not have a captive audience, then the institution will not come to fruition.
And it seems like NU is conceptually a very intellectual space, but also an inclusive space, a space where people can feel comfortable. And I'm thinking about the name of the foundation. I see a linguistic connection between the word NU in English and the word NU, us, in French. And it underscores the multicultural realities and possibilities available for this innovative center. How do you feel the Creolophone culture is going to be represented in this center? And what is their agency in relation to Franco and Anglophones?
Well, I think the concept of Creole culture and language is very unique in Louisiana, especially it's a term that you hear a lot around the Latin American and Caribbean spheres. And I think it attaches Louisiana very much to these spaces. I think there's a way that we are part of the U.S. South, and we are firmly rooted in the U.S. South. But if you turn us in the other direction, we're also closer to Havana than to St. Louis. Yeah, there are different ways that you can think and play around with our geography to understand where these connections come from. And I think in terms of the consciousness, public consciousness about Louisiana, the Francophone, and the fact that we've had critical masses of French-speaking populations has been kind of part of people's understanding of Louisiana and the region, the entire Gulf South region. But I think that the Creolophone population, to a certain degree, is less known, and maybe not because I think in the past it was well known, but it just over time through the Jim Crow South and views on Black Creole culture that sometimes that these cultures and these languages were not necessarily valorized by kind of the mainstream consciousness. So I think that we're thinking about it from the terms that in our vision for NU, Creole stands on equal footing with French and English. Our website itself is in English, French, and Creole. And certainly the fact that the Creole has far fewer speakers today means that the programs and ways we promote Creole will be different. But it would be a disservice to the cause of promoting Louisiana Francophone cultures if we did not also promote Creolophone cultures, as they have always been integrally tied together. I think that's true for Louisiana, that's true for the Gulf South, and I think that's true for the kind of French and Creole experience throughout the United States in many ways. And I think that at NU, we want to combat some of the misconceptions about the Creole language, that Creole somehow isn't useful or is that are already dead, which is unto itself is kind of cringeworthy for anyone that kind of understands how these types of languages interact. And we want to show that the ways the languages are still being used, they're infused in French and English, and they're being tirelessly advocated by people who are trying to, that are really using it and finding innovative ways to use them. So I think maybe to wrap that up, the idea is that the Francophonie is not only about French, it is, but also about multilingualism and promoting other languages that live and thrive alongside French, whether it's Creole or English or any other language. I think the Secretary General of the Francophonie has spoken widely on this, and I think we completely agree and are passionate about seeing the Louisiana Creole language or Caribbean thrive as we work on this project.
It to me feels like almost an extension of Louisiana's participation in the Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie by having this center. And, you know, many listeners might think that this sounds like it's at the intersection of something like the Alliance Française and a community center. How do you envision that the space for NU will be different, more dynamic, better for Louisiana?
Well, it's a very interesting question. So perhaps to start, you know, per its mission, the Alliance Française is dedicated to teaching the French language and, of course, building awareness of the culture associated with it. So we completely, of course, support their mission because it's complementary with what we're trying to do. Our mission, however, as you well stated in your question, we'd like to build a cultural institute dedicated to Louisiana French and Creole and their relationship to the Francophonie. So from that lens, our mission is kind of more oriented towards different aspects. So first, there's a strong emphasis on business opportunities in our project. So we want NU to help Louisianans think about the sustainable business and professional opportunities related to French and Creole. So for instance, just to give a few figures, the Francophonie itself brings together 88 regions and countries around the world and brings together over 1 billion people, which is huge. And it also accounts for over 16% of the global economy. So there are so many opportunities out there and also in the United States. And we feel like it's important to say that too, because there are so many French speaking businesses that are implanted in the US. So, you know, opportunities are not only far away, they could also be right next door. And we are also committed to multilingualism. So it's Scott was talking about it actually. So it's very important for us. As Scott said, we view English, French, and Creole as being engaged in dialogue with each other. So we are designing programs in each language. And we would like people to access resources in these three languages to have the opportunity to learn them and also to exchange, to use them in their everyday lives. So that's why we feel like it's important to provide resources. Even though we're a Francophone cultural center and Creolophone cultural center, we feel like it's important to provide a wide array of resources in English too. And for instance, we think it's important that we're speaking English right now, and you probably had the same kind of question when you launched your podcast, but we feel like it's a good way, you know, to reach a wider audience in a way and to deliver our message too. And then maybe I could say that we want our space to be as interactive as possible. We'll listen to your interview of Joseph Dunn, and he said something very interesting. He said that Louisianans need a place where they can come together and interact with Louisiana French and Creole. So that's kind of what we want to do. We think it's important to provide that kind of space where people can feel free to talk, to share ideas, to share projects. You know, this idea of bringing people together in a welcoming space that could help amplify the energy and give way to barrier-breaking ideas in a way. And maybe a final point is that we are partnerships-oriented. So a major part of our work will be building partnerships to support a network around French and Creole. So it's very important for us. You know, in a way, the more we expand the ways that people are exposed to French and Creole, you know, whether it be through news programs, the Alliance Française, universities, or, you know, in people's homes or in public spaces, then we feel like the languages become more visible, and that's what we want. So it's better to grow the circle of people who are interested in learning French and Creole. And, you know, we feel like that kind of thing should never be a competition, and that it never be that culture doesn't belong to one group in the first place, and that it needs to be shared and dynamic to thrive.
When we're talking about something that's dynamic or that thrives, it really has to be accepted and brought forth by the community. How do you hope that the community in New Orleans engages with NU and makes it their own, really changes the center into something that, you know, conceptually you both have come up with and really embraces it? And moreover, how do you hope other community organizations, universities, and maybe even others outside of New Orleans and Louisiana interact with NU?
Nothing in New Orleans, or Louisiana for that matter, works if the community doesn't put its stamp on it. I think we embrace that through and through. I think we know where we're going, and I think we know the community that we're working with, and we've been listening very attentively. So I think Rudy and I have always been listening for that. I mean, I think one of the important elements that we're thinking about with NU and where we can help the most is maybe on two different fronts. The first being that we can help educate a public in Louisiana and across the United States that may not know how unique the local cultures and languages and their immense impact. And the other one is that, so even if someone doesn't necessarily pick up the language, we want to make sure that they're able to come into a space where they're able to find the resources that they want, and they become a stakeholder in the success of French and Creole culture, whether it be in Louisiana or elsewhere. And I think that's important, that you're not just building French speakers and Creole speakers, which would be lovely, and I think we would be very happy to see that happen over time. But the reality is that the number of French and Creole speakers did not decline overnight, so we have to have a longer-term perspective on this, that it's going to take generations to build back up for Louisiana. But we are stubborn optimists. I think we understand that what we're working with is that we're building an entire ecosystem for the languages to thrive, and part of that ecosystem, and a huge part of that ecosystem, is the 90%+ of Louisiana that speaks English, may have an attachment to the language or not, but can become supporters and understand why this is important to their lives, no matter what language that they speak. And so in our books, and the way that we're viewing it, is that NU can provide that kind of economic element, it can provide the cultural element, so that, or any other element that people envision, because we want them to embrace the idea. We want it to be, if they're oriented towards business, we have programs for them. If they're oriented towards culture, we have expositions for them. We want them to interact in that space, and we want them to feel welcome, because ultimately, it's there, it's going to be for them. And I think no matter whether it's the programs that we're creating or the digital resources and the content we're creating, we want people, anyone, we're not going to dictate how anyone interacts with that. That's up to them. But we want to make sure that those resources are there for them on the spot, you know, and that they can access it easily. And I think, I was thinking, we were talking about this the other day, and just kind of thinking, one of the funniest things, and maybe beautifully indicative of how the Francophonie exists in Louisiana today, last time we were back in New Orleans, we were taking just a ride hailing app, and we were driving out, and we were speaking French to each other, and the driver had this very thick New Orleans accent. I mean, and so we didn't think too much about it. And then about a third of the way through, the individual started speaking French to us. We're like, "Vous parlez français?" We're like, and so there's this kind of mutual exchange. And it was funny because just that experience of hearing the language spoken, being in that kind of smaller space, but being able to interact with it. And she explained to us, "Oh yeah, you know, I grew up in the Seventh Ward. My grandmother spoke French and I picked up some of it. But we had an interaction in French over that." We're thinking that if you just take that one example and that one Uber, and you can bring that kind of the culture and the language being spoken and alive, imagine what you can do in a space dedicated to that, in which people can go and find that, and what the opportunities, and honestly, as Rudy was saying, the kind of barrier-breaking ideas that you can bring to the table.
And, you know, for this reason, all of our components have emerged from talking and listening to people on the ground. It was very important for us. So we did market research, individual interviews. We sought advice, you know, over the past 2 years to arrive at an understanding of what people really want and what they would like to embrace. So we arrived at the digital platform to collect resources and promote ideas, a cafe and concept store to build a community space, and an ideas lab to promote collective ideas and professional training around French and Creole, as Scott said earlier. And maybe the second part of your question, to make sure outside organizations can be engaged as well, we are also working on different partnerships with numerous institutions. So for instance, international organizations, embassies, universities, and museums. We think it's important to work with them as they will most probably be able to provide us with a wide array of content and resources that will most certainly be useful to our community. And well, maybe to conclude, we do recognize that the project is fairly ambitious because we want to rely on many, many partnerships and involve a community, which is, you know, can be hard sometimes to create. And we are in uncertain times too. But that's why at the same time, we felt it was important to get people involved from the start and also to start pooling resources so that we could have an impact from day one. And, you know, we want people to start interacting with us and each other. So the community space will be alive as soon as we open its doors.
And, you know, kind of touching on what both of you have said, Rudy was just saying how from day one, you really want to be engaged with the community. And Scott, you said, you know, that you both are stubborn optimists, that you really are going to work to make this happen. And as you both are responsible for helping strategize and work to bring Louisiana into the Organisation Internationale de la Francophonie, I don't think that your optimism is baseless, right? And I think that what you're expressing here is something that many people would like to see in different parts of the Francophonie, in different regions, and specifically in Louisiana. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to do within maybe a year's time? What do you envision after 1 year of NU being on the ground?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think we will obviously be, I think if we can have a space, I mean, I think that we view maybe a couple different elements. One is thinking about it from the standpoint of if you can provide support from a civil society standpoint. So one of the big things that to have any language ecosystem emerging, you're going to need obviously for-profit businesses and people kind of making their livelihoods off of these languages and not even, or just having interactions with them. The other one is going to be government and institutions that are working on this and kind of providing that kind of necessary support. But it's also civil society. And a lot of the resources that we found internationally and be able to bring them to the table is going to be provided by civil society in that space. So I think we would love, after a year of operating and being in this space, to be that intermediary, to be there and saying, you know, that we are a nonprofit and we are in Louisiana, and we are able to serve as the intermediary between the international organizations that want to support us and provide those resources on the ground. So that, because the reality is that the beauty of the promotion of French and Creole in Louisiana is that it's a very bottom-up process. There's a lot of organizations, a lot of people, a lot of energy on the ground that have been working tirelessly to make this happen. We are not the first, we will not be the last, and there have been a lot of people that are working there. We just want to help frame and reframe how we're working on this question and offer our kind of proposal as a potential way to amplify this work, but also allow other people to contribute their voices to the project so that it'll change over time. The second element, I think that after a year, what we would really like to say, I mean, is what we were talking about. If you can have these projects on the ground creating some form of critical mass, and you have different spheres opening up, where different parts of the economy, different parts of culture, where French and Creole always existed or have existed in the past. I mean, these are not, I mean, Louisiana has been Francophone and Creolophone for a long time. But if you can reinsert these languages into these spaces, then I think you can really do a great service through the programs that we're offering to have ways about deepening that. So I think we want to be able to start providing programs that are able to recast the way that people view French and Creole, not just as languages, which they obviously are, but as an entire mindset and honestly as a lifestyle that they can bring into other aspects of their lives. And then I think the third part of it, and this is just going to be maybe viewed as a little bit more symbolic, but I think equally important, is that we want to help build visibility not only for French and Creole in Louisiana, but about French and Creole throughout the United States and serve as a cultural institution that was created by Americans for Americans for the world. I think it's important to be thinking on those terms, that it would be great to have this voice that's kind of thinking about the United States as a Francophone space as well and as a Creolophone space as well, and that we can start creating institutions that can kind of help collectivize and build our voice within the Francophonie, because we do have something to say. And I think we are building our cultural institution in New Orleans for a reason. Whether or not we recognize it per se in Louisiana, New Orleans is a global global city. It has all sorts of cultural attributes that it has brought to the world, and that is something that a lot of the reasons why those cultures exist and why we recognize New Orleans because of the work that Francophone and Creolophone populations gave and their kind of contributions to culture, whether it be jazz or other forms of music or all sorts of cuisine and ways that the richness that we view of that culture is in no small part due to the work that we've seen that these populations have brought. So I think building a cultural institute in New Orleans, working with partners all over the United States, and also helping bring partners from around the world to the United States to work on this space, then I think the symbolic role of what we want to do would not be lost. And I think that, as we said from the beginning, we are listening to people. We want to be, we want people to be interacting with us. We want to have their input on the project, what they like, what they don't like, because it's always going to evolve. You cannot create a cultural center that is static or just, stuck in its ways. It has to be evolving as fast as the communities that it is bringing to the table.
And I guess, Rudy, maybe kind of where do you see the new foundation and the community after a year of your engagement with them? And also, another layer to this, as a person from France moving to Louisiana, how do you feel like it's going to maybe have an effect on you?
Exactly, yeah. So we are always learning in a way, so I'm very excited to learn more upon moving there. And, I feel like I'm not going there to teach anything, or to say that we know better in France, when it comes to the Francophonie. So I'm very excited to, enter that kind of dialogue and be able to learn a lot of things. But yeah, after a year, I would love to know more about Louisiana first, because I've been there, but I've never lived there. So I would love to know more, engage with, the different communities there, and also start seeing people being engaged in our different programs, people from different backgrounds, people with different goals, people who want to, who speak French, who don't speak French, who want to learn French, who don't want to learn French, but people who are still interested in the kind of programs we are offering. And, we would like to make, even if it's small, but still make, a difference maybe, and show that the Francophonie is very much alive and that it's not something that belongs with the past, but, something that belongs very much with the present and the future.
And speaking about that future, I'm sure my listeners are really engaged right now and want to reach out and know, okay, what steps can I take now to get engaged with the new foundation? How will they be able to find you? And when do you expect to be there and to start this wonderful project?
Well, I think we do have a website. So you can go to NewNola, so NewNola.org, and find us. So it gives more background about the project and some of the kind of what our vision for the project is and kind of where the timeline for what we want to do. We can also, just reach out to us. You can reach out to us anytime, and we would love to be able, I think we thrive on these types of interactions and being able to talk with people and the beauty of it is a lot of people have different angles and different ways that they view these topics, because whether they're from Michigan or whether they're from New England and speak French, or whether they're completely Anglophone but they are really interested, then we can always interact and we can always learn. And I think that type of engaging a dialogue, we would love it. So do not hesitate to reach out to us. And I think ultimately we will have our website. We will eventually be launching into fundraising campaigns, and just respecting kind of the atmosphere that there is today, I think we're going to be working on donations and kind of building and pooling funds for our cultural center a little bit further down the road. And we are moving back to New Orleans. I think we were supposed to be there about 2 months ago, but I think given the circumstances and we've had some difficulty getting back there, but I think we do have a date and we should be there in the next month. So we are excited to be there. And I think, I think we would love to see people coming down and visiting us in New Orleans.
Yeah, once everything clears up and everyone is safe after COVID restrictions, hopefully I'll even be able to make it down there to meet you both and to experience all that the new foundation is going to be. Thank you again so much for being on the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast and you do want to reach out, you can also go on thefrancophone.com and send a contact information form to me, and I will be happy to send along the information to Scott and Rudy. Merci encore une fois, and thank you again.
Merci beaucoup.
And thank you again for supporting and listening to the North American Francophone podcast, especially today as Scott and Rudy unveil their new project. I'm really excited to see what it becomes in the weeks, months, and years ahead. Great job et félicitations.
And just as a note to my listeners, I'm going to be moving to a summer schedule. It's going to help me as an educator at the University of Virginia be able to complete my teaching of courses. I'm going to be teaching 5 days a week using Zoom in an intensive French boot camp. And that means that my editing time is going to go down and be reduced significantly for the podcast over summer. But don't worry, I'm still going to be putting out podcasts bi-weekly in the summer months. And by the time the summer semester is over and that we move into fall, I'm going to be returning to the normal schedule of weekly podcasts. But just so that's on your radar as well, that is going to be coming up. As always, if you want to contribute to the podcast, send me an email at northamericanfrancophone@gmail.com or stop by thefrancophone.com and send in some information about your personal project, your voice, your research, or whatever else you might think you'd like to contribute to the North American Francophone podcast. As the COVID pandemic has taught us, it has become more and more essential that we remain connected, but also share our voices and create new communities through a virtual medium. Until next time, stay safe, healthy, and curious about the Francophone world.